Thank you, Kim. Need to congratulate Ted from Evanston. Ted from Evanston will join us for a live broadcast from the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It's the Saturday Night Live, The Experience. It's an exhibit going on. We'll be there Wednesday, February 28th from 10 a.m. to noon. And then we're going to be there for our bonus hour on the stream as well from noon to 1. You can sit at Wayne's World's couch. You can sit at the anchor desk for Weekend Update. And we have your tickets when you hear an audio clip of a catchphrase from SNL. Just be the third caller at 312-981-7200 like Ted from Evanston did, and you will join us, and we'll have pie and coffee from Bang Bang Pie and biscuits. It's the Museum of Broadcast Communications located at 360 North State Street.
More chances to win possibly today, but certainly next week, right?
You never know.
All through the week, yeah. Anytime you hear the catchphrase, be caller number three. Proud to welcome Tom Appel back to the show, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. ConsumerGuide.com is the website to visit. And then the daily blog is CG Daily Drive. Is that the one?
That is, yeah.
Got it all? How are you? Nice to see you, Tom.
I'm good. Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you. You have been to the Detroit Auto Show.
Yes.
And now you have been to the Chicago Auto Show.
Yes.
What are the differences between the two shows? Are they showing more product, new product at one than the other, or what?
It depends on the year.
Yeah,
but there's been a trend towards... All the auto shows are losing content, sort of, for the reveals, as it were, because there's just more auto shows. There's Dubai, there's things in China, things in India. So it's getting harder and harder to get new stuff there. But if you're a consumer going to the show, it doesn't matter, because Chicago, with all the floor space, gets everything.
Yeah.
Really?
So
good.
If you're driving down there, you get to see everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Are you a kid in the candy store at this time?
Oh, it's crazy.
You are, aren't you?
Yeah, I haven't missed an auto show since 77, I think.
Yeah.
My dad used to take me. It was
great. Yeah, it's fun.
You have all these, you know, driverless cars and these space age things that look very space aged, but there also were throwback cars for the Dodge Challenger and the Charger. The Mustang kind of got a little throwback. Do we have any more throwback cars? I love that look. I love when they go back to that. I don't think we're going to see too much of the retro stuff. Darn it.
Yeah, it's you know what the problem is with that? And it's a funny story. Like, you had the new Beetle that came out. Whatever that was, that's almost 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And you do that, Volkswagen does that, and then how do you update retro?
Right.
Yeah, I guess.
You're in a really weird position. Oh,
right.
They did that with Camaro as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks fabulous.
It's so cool. I love the throw. It looks like a car again, instead of like a Beetle with wheels, like a bug.
Yeah, well...
They all look alike.
You have this funny thing going on, too, and it's a bigger problem with crossovers, where just the demands of aerodynamics... do sort of force things to look a little bit alike.
Yeah.
So you're looking for character in different places. It's not in the shape. It's in the headlight design. It's in the door stampings, and certainly in the interior.
But to some extent, I guess Mini Cooper is the one who kind of went, we're really going to make our new product look like it's 35, 40, 45 years ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
they do a good job with
that. I think they do a nice job with it. Will other car companies, or have other car companies, taken a bite out of that and say, we'll try that as well?
It doesn't seem to always work. Chevy had I don't know how many people remember the Chevy HHR, which was a compact sort of crossovery car. But HHR stood for Heritage High Roof, and it looked like Chevy trucks from the
40s.
That's what it stood for? I wondered
what it
was. That
is what
it
stood for. Yeah, it's not great.
It was like one of those woody wagons without the wood paneling.
Yes. How long ago is this? I don't remember this at all.
I think they discontinued it about 5 years ago, years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
like a station wagon meets a woody meets a sort of a small van or something. It was very interesting.
Didn't quite catch fire. Sold in volume, but they only did one generation of it.
Yeah, and that was it. Came and went. What did you notice trend-wise?
Well, one interesting thing that's going on right now, the trend is this. People aren't buying cars anymore. There's the sedan sales are down by 20% last year.
And who just stopped? One of the major car companies just said, we're done with sedans. Who was that?
Oh, a couple of car companies, but like Mitsubishi no longer sells a sedan
at
all.
Yeah.
And Chrysler's really getting out of it. FCA, I should say, Fiat Chrysler, is backing away from Chrysler's. They don't sell the 200 anymore as the Dodge or the Dodge Dart either. They just get out of that business. It's hard to make money in that segment. And the players that are in it are really strong.
Is everybody driving? That's a picture of the HHR, by the way. Do you recognize
it now? Yeah, now that I see it, I do.
So crossovers and SUVs, is that the way everyone's going? Because I'm telling you, we have a Toyota Highlander, and I want to buy a Subaru Outback right now. I love the SUVs.
Yeah, and people see the value there. The big thing about it is you get more stuff for your money. Maybe not for money, because the transaction price is really high.
Yeah, sure.
Relative to sedans, but you get more stuff. You get everything's compact, and on a smaller footprint that's easier to park, you just get more space for people and stuff.
Yeah. Stuff.
Plus, people associated with all-wheel drive traction. And
great.
Today, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, right, it does.
Oh, it was so perfect today, driving in it.
Wendy and I were discussing this at the top of the show. The feelings in the old days when you'd get in your car on a day like today is, I don't know that my car is going to navigate the roads. But now, if you have a bigger vehicle, you feel very confident. It's a very different feeling, you know?
I think so. I think most people are more confident. The big switch that happened, if you're my age, is that you made the move from rear drive to front drive.
Yes.
So even if you don't have all-wheel drive, front drive is so much more capable than rear drive. And then if you have all-wheel drive, you almost get too confident.
Does it really make a huge difference? I drive a Jeep that has a knob in there where you can adjust it to snow and ice and stuff like that. It makes a pretty big difference, doesn't it?
Depends on the vehicle. There's an algorithm that it messes with. But the first thing it does is it gets you out of first gear really fast. Because in first gear, you're putting a lot of torque down, and you're going to break traction more easily. Mm-hmm. So it just smooths things out a little bit.
So you won't slide as much then?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you surprised this switchover that you just said about how the public is not buying sedans at all and we're all buying, you know, larger vehicles? Are you surprised that that switchover happened so rapidly? It seems like it happened pretty quick.
It was happening gradually. And then, to your point, yes, it happened really fast the last 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah.
It seems to really be catching on. And I guess I am a little surprised.
What do you think the psyche was there? What was going on in everybody's mindset? Was it just simply the value of having more car for your dollar? Is that what it was?
I think it's that, and there's more product, too. There's a lot of good crossovers out there.
And think about it. If everybody is driving an SUV, you don't feel as safe if you're in a smaller car. So you want a car that kind of matches up to what's on the road.
That is a huge, I think that is a huge influencer, what you just said, in Chicago, where you're stuck in traffic.
Yep.
So you want to be as high off the ground as everyone else, because otherwise you feel stuck. You can't see, you're claustrophobic. But there's a sense of safety too.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very hard for people like myself. I grew up loving sports cars, and I was lucky enough to have some over the years. But now the practicality.
Curious.
Well, I went through, I went through about 15 years where I only drove convertibles.
Oh,
a great Audi convertible, a great Saab convertible that I was really pleased with. And I really thought that was going to be for the rest of my life, would be the way I'd go. And then I switched over to a Jeep, and I love it.
Yeah.
And it's three times the size of my old car.
And not a convertible.
It's not a convertible. There's a pool table in my Jeep. We play pool sometimes while I'm driving. I can't believe the difference. It's very strange that I've tricked myself into loving
you're getting
a much
older.
Bigger. I guess that's what it is.
And then when you're like 70, you'll go back to the sports car.
Yeah, a really small sports car.
With your Mr. Microphone trying to pick up chicks.
Right. That's my future, Tom. I hope it's you different.
I look forward to watching that on Facebook.
It's going to be fun to watch. Yeah. Tom Appel is here. He has been to the Chicago Auto Show. He'll tell you what he saw. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I realized I am a car girl.
Yeah.
I love cars.
Yep.
I really do.
Tom Appel is here. He loves cars more than you, Wendy, believe it or not. ConsumerGuide.com is the website. His Twitter handle is car, and then you pause for a little bit. You put a dash in there.
Short pause.
A short pause, and then Guy, and then another short pause, and then Tom. That's how you can find him. CG Daily Drive is his blog also. Let me ask you a quick question that's not about the auto show, because there's people who have other auto show questions. On This Is Us the other day. One of the main characters goes in, he wants to buy a car for his family, and the car is way overpriced. He can't afford it, but he tells him a story about how he really feels the car will be part of his family, it will be better, the car will bring the family together, and they give it to him for a lower price. That would never work in a million years, would it?
I don't think so.
That wouldn't work.
I don't think so.
Right. I wondered about that as well.
Yeah. It looked good on TV. I wonder how many people went, I got to try that next time. I'll tell them the story of my family and how the car will be a member of our family. But, Tom, I don't think it'll work.
No.
You know what's so great now, though, is you can go online and find, you can comparison shop anywhere now. I used to get that Edmunds book years ago and have, this is how much it is for, anti-lock brakes. So I could go in there and say, I know how much that costs. How much are you going to give that to me? There's not a lot of haggling anymore, is there?
No, because if you're buying a car now, new or used, you should have a pretty good idea what it's worth when you get there, and you haggle a little bit. But
it's so easy to find now on the internet. In the old days, you were kind of guessing.
If you get a price that's 5% over what you're actually going to end up paying, I'd be stunned these days.
Really?
Yeah, I just think it's tighter than that now.
Wow.
Also, there's a lot of competition. People advertise online. So
yeah, there's whole online divisions. Although, when you put your name in, they call you like every single
day.
Sure.
Every day.
Right.
Twice a day.
And where they make up their money is on the financing then, right? They meet you on the price a little bit, but then your financing tends to be a bit higher.
You know, a good place to look, and drivechicago.com, mm-hmm. which is actually produced by the same people that do the auto show, mm-hmm. a lot of dealers list all their inventory there with asking prices.
Oh.
So it's a great place to just look at what people are asking for cars, new and used.
Good.
It's the least you can do.
It's the least
That's
you can
them.
Do, Wendy.
That's them.
Well said.
All right. Someone has a question and a very good one. Tom Appel on the line with us. This is Leo. Hi, Leo.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I have a question. For decades, General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, they've dominated the car industry. But then something happened like in the around the 80s to where the Japanese caught up and they passed us. And now they're leading the auto industry where the big three now they're following trends and design. But we've always maintained to be on top in the truck industry. Why do you think we've been able to stay on top with trucks and SUVs, but not cars?
I'm going to disagree with you on the fact that we're not ahead in cars. I'm not sure anyone's ahead in cars right now. I think that what was called the Big Three and now typically is called the Detroit Three, a wonderfully competitive product, and I don't know that they're trailing in design in any way. But they certainly did in the 80s and 90s. I agree with you there. As for the trucks, truck buyers, especially if we're talking about half-ton pickup trailers, are insanely loyal. So to get them out of their product and into another one is really difficult. And truck buyers will tell you, or truck sellers will tell you this, that they just need to keep their buyers happy. And then any conquest sales are gold. It's
yeah.
so hard to get a Ram guy to buy a Chevy.
Is it?
Or
yeah.
Ford. Yeah. They'll do it. I mean, if you have the right combination. And commercial buyers aren't as... are just touched by loyalty because obviously there's economic underpinnings there. But
right.
yeah, I think that's what helped the big three stay in the truck market when they did. And now the product's awesome.
And even if you get a Japanese model, a lot of them are made in the United States now anyway, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing too. I think that any protectionist inclinations people might have are not well supported because yes, America consumes about as many cars as it produces.
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
That's a combination of American, Japanese, and Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And German stuff. So,
yeah.
Thanks for your call. We appreciate it, Leo. Speaking of trucks, Carrie has a question for you, Tom. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, guys. Hey, Tom. I listen to you on Nick's show. I like you a lot. I call about once a year, excuse me, asking about a midsize Ford pickup. If I go to the auto show, will I actually see one?
A Ford pickup?
A
Ford midsize pickup.
Oh, I know there's a couple of F-250s out there. That's the three-quarter ton trucks.
I'm looking for, like, what's supposed to be the Ranger replacement. Like
that's there. Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking, thank you, yes. Yeah, the Ranger is there.
Oh, it's there, okay.
And yeah. these are just smaller than a big-ass truck.
The Ranger is back. We used to call it a compact pickup. He called it midsize, which is really what they are now. They're not that small. They're just smaller than giant half-ton pickups.
But I have a Dakota now. I'm a Ford guy, but I have a Dakota now that's, like, on its last legs. So
yeah.
that's really what I would like, and that's the perfect size.
Yeah, I would check out the Ridgeline, too. I love that truck.
I heard the Tacoma's nice, too.
The Tacoma is still very small. That's the Toyota truck.
Too small? Okay.
For me. I don't know how big you are.
Well, then I'm going to have to go to the show.
You do have to go to the show.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck with your truck. Our cars are lasting longer. We have a little Toyota Corolla that I keep thinking is on its last leg. It's a 2007, and there's like, oh, God, I don't 260,000 miles or something. And everyone keeps saying it's going to last till 300,000. It's still doing pretty well.
Yeah, there was a time where 100,000 miles was this resale value line in the sand.
Yeah.
And if you crossed it, you were hosed. Right?
What there's is no, it now, would you say? 120?
150, maybe.
150,
yeah, cars
really?
Go a long, long way now.
Yeah. During the Super Bowl, there was an ad, a BMW ad, proudly touting the fact that these BMWs are made here in America.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought part of the mystique of getting a BMW was knowing you were getting Bavarian-made cars. It's not that way anymore, though, huh?
It's not. And this is actually a blog post I think I need to write because German cars are now built in America.
Yeah,
they're,
right.
They're built in Mexico. And I don't know. I don't know what constitutes a German vehicle. Obviously, I think the thing you're still hanging your hat on is the engineering.
Right.
That said, BMWs and Mercedes and Audis are still pretty fabulous.
The design is still done overseas,
yeah.
but the actual manufacturing is done here in the United
States.
Yeah,
the globalization is interesting, and I think they've noticed that buyers don't care that much.
Isn't that interesting? Because wouldn't you say a generation ago that was the mystique, is you were getting a European car. How exciting, but now it's... think America.
In the 80s, when I was a kid reading Car and Driver, German cars were cool because they were built in German, designed by Germans.
Yeah.
And they were crazy expensive, but you didn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the one thing you saw at the auto show that you stayed a little bit longer, you couldn't take your eyes off of?
There is a really crazy Lexus concept car, the Lexus LF1 Limitless. It's a crossover concept. I saw the pictures, and I couldn't figure out what it looked like. It looked really high and awkward.
Yeah.
In person, it's really cool looking. You got to walk around it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really interesting
design. You need the dimension
design.
Of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elon Musk now is making these cars that fly in space. You got to go up in a rocket and then...
They fly to space.
Right, yeah. Right. When can we get those? I want one of those.
Like 2019, probably.
That's not that far off. Sure.
What's the car that has the crazy doors that you get
the
in?
Gullwing doors?
That they open up. Is there...
It used to be DeLoreans had them.
DeLoreans had them, and Lamborghinis have interesting doors.
Right.
But the Tesla Model X, which is their crossover, has what they call the falcon wing doors for the rear doors. And they look gull-wingy, but they're hinged so that you can open them in a small space.
Is that so the practicality of it, well, aside from they look cool.
They do look cool.
But that's what it's for, is small space? Is that why?
I don't know. It seems totally ridiculous to me.
Aren't they hard to get in?
No. That
really?
I recently drove one and sat in the back of it. I was really impressed by how easy that was to get in, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of show, and I think it's entirely unnecessary. Yeah. But it's cool and it works.
It is really cool. I got to tell you that.
How many days, when the auto show's in town, you don't go every day, do you?
No. I was down here the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And I'll probably come back down with my dad if I can make that work.
Yeah.
And we'll spend a couple of hours here, and that'll probably be it.
Is your dad like my dad in that they're amazed at the price of everything?
Oh, yeah.
He used to be able to get a car for $40. Well, who's going to pay this kind of money for a car?
I'm pretty sure my dad's last car was the first car he ever bought more than $10,000.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe how expensive automobiles are right now. I really can't.
Yeah.
And that's funny because we're talking about this move to crossovers, and the average transaction on them is so much higher. But someone just reported the transaction price of a new car slipping to over $36,000.
I can't remember whose commercial it was, but yesterday they showed some vehicle and they said starting at just $50,000, and I went, wow, those start at $50,000, and then no, but that means you can't get one for that because you want to put something in it or on it. It's going to be more.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
All right, and real quickly, this texted from 773, somewhat auto and snow related. Any other adults still look for an empty parking lot, turn off the traction control, and do donuts? I'm 57, and I did it today.
Well, good for him.
We can't condone that, Tom, but,
no, but
it's a lot of fun.
If I can find an open lot...
One donut's not going to kill you.
No.
Absolutely.
No.
Tom, it's always fun to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Tom Appel, everybody. ConsumerGuide.com is the website. Car-Guide-Tom, that's his Twitter handle. And then CG Daily Drive is his blog. I get
that's
everything?
Me.
I got it all.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thanks,
a little
Tom.
Break, and then we'll check in with Steve. It's Bill, and it's Wendy on WGN.